Florence Guest is a lifelong student of mysticism and spirituality. Her ministry is the Dances of Universal Peace, where she can sing and dance and give praise by honoring all the spiritual paths that we humans have invented in an attempt to understand the mystery of life.
All the Sufi mystic poets are attempting to describe this love, this letting go. They use beautiful and delightful metaphor to express this love, being in love, witnessing love, nurturing love, an ocean of love, a tavern of love, a garden of love, burning love. Hafiz says, "What is the root of all these words? One thing, love. But a love so deep and sweet, it needed to express itself in scents, sounds, and colors that never before existed." I was asked to talk about the Sufi path and Sufi poetry. So what is a Sufi? What is Sufism? Hasan al-Nuri, a 9th century Sufi saint, tells us, "Sufism is not rituals and form. It's not bodies of knowledge, not doctrines, not ideas, not theories. It is impeccable manner, the manner of a lover in the presence of the beloved." And my teacher, Hazrat Inayat Khan, the man who brought Sufism from east to west, from India to America, he says that Sufism is the path of wisdom in search of truth, guided by love, harmony, and beauty. Okay? The path of wisdom in search of truth. The Sufi path. It is a path indeed, and those who walk the path are called wayfarers, pilgrims, wanderers, dervishes, Sufis. The path leads deeper and always deeper into the heart of love, and you must continuously let go into the mystery. You must let go of everything you think, all that you believe, everything you were taught, all your precious books. You let go of personality and any concept of self that is separate from other. The path is hidden in plain sight. It's quite easy to find. Many who begin the journey out of curiosity or a happy accident. You never walk the path alone. There are always friends to guide you and walk beside you, whether you can see them or not. You will come to many twists and turns and choice points. Love, harmony, and beauty are your guideposts along the way. When you follow the fragrance of love, the grace of harmony, and the seductive beauty, the seductive charm of beauty, you know you're going in the right direction. Sufi poetry provides the roadmap. In Sufi poetry, everything is revealed. There are no secrets. Everything is revealed to those who have the eyes to see. Today, I will illuminate the path a bit with the help of some Sufi poets. We'll turn to Attar, Rumi, Hafiz, and Rabia, and Inayat Khan. The book, The Conference of the Birds, by Faruddin Attar, is a comprehensive roadmap. It's quite comprehensive, leads you from A to Z with nothing left unturned. It's a roadmap of the Sufi path in poetry and parable. I do not have time today to give you the plot, only the essence. The birds in the poem traverse 7 valleys to get to the court of the king, which is the object of their devotion. These 7 valleys represent 7 stages of the path that Sufis traverse, the Sufi path. But Attar warns us, no one knows how far one must travel to the portal of the great king. No one has ever made the journey and returned. meaning that once you set forth on this path, you are changed forever, and you'll never go back to the way you once were. The first valley is the valley of the quest. By walking this portion of the path, you must struggle with yourself and be stripped of your excuses, attachments, complaints, doubts, and fears. Many of us, probably most of us, will spend entire lifetimes traversing this first valley. Rumi says, while you're still yourself, you are blind to both worlds. That ego drunkenness will not let you see. Only when you are cleansed of both will you cut the deep root of fear and anger. The second valley is the valley of love. Attar is not talking about romantic love or parental love or even agape love. Attar is talking about the purifying fire of divine love. The Sufis call it ishq, ishq Allah, divine love. Attar warns, if you are not a lover of fire, leave, turn back, you can go no farther. Hafiz writes, love is a funeral pyre where I laid my living body. All the false notions of myself that once caused me fear and pain have turned to ash as I neared God. What has risen from the tangled web of thought and sinew now shines with jubilation through the eyes of angels. Love is a funeral pyre where the heart must lay its body. The third valley is the valley of knowledge. The purifying love, the purifying fire of love allows you to see with different eyes. You see as a mystic sees. And Nayat Khan says, to have mystic knowledge is to witness the divine hand behind everything. Attar says, 100,000 mysteries will be unmasked. The secret of every atom will be revealed, and this ash pit world will sprout into a rose garden. So don't get me wrong. Attar was a physician. He was a great physician. He made his own essential oils, and he worked with hundreds of patients every day. Rumi was a scholar, a university professor. You know, it's not that they did not have use for worldly knowledge. It's that when the mystic knowledge opened up, they realized that the worldly knowledge was not as useful. Hafiz writes, I have learned so much from God that I can no longer call myself a Christian, a Hindu, a Muslim, a Buddhist, or a Jew. The truth has shared so much of itself with me that I can no longer call myself a man, a woman, an angel, or even pure soul. Love has befriended me so completely, it has turned to ash and freed me of every concept and image my mind has ever known. The fourth valley is the valley of detachment. In this valley, all the worldly knowledge and the mystical knowledge revealed in the last valley are surrendered. They're not given up. They're not pushed away. They're just simply surrendered. All reason and thought, all entitlement, all meaning become irrelevant. The mind is useless, and one can only navigate with the heart. For poetry here, I turn to Rabia of Basra. She was the first Sufi saint, an illuminated woman from the 8th century, a remarkable woman. She was a renunciant and an ascetic. Her family was poor. She was sold into slavery. Yet she was set free by her master because he saw her praying, totally surrounded by light. And he saw her to be a saint and feared for his own life if he were to keep her as a slave. So she was set free to live her life on her own terms. She introduced the concept of divine love, the idea of loving God for God's own sake. She wrote, "O Lord, if I worship you because I fear hell, then burn me in hell. If I worship you because I desire paradise, then deny me paradise. If I worship you for yourself alone, then deny me not your eternal beauty." She also wrote, "I carry a torch in one hand and a bucket of water in the other. With these, I'm going to set fire to heaven and put out the flames of hell so that voyagers to God can rip the veils and see the real goal." Okay? Live in the world, but not of it. Do not become attached to anything but the beloved. The fifth valley is the valley of unity. Attar tells us, give up everything except the one. This is not a place of uniformity. Here you find unity in diversity. You are outside of time, outside of measurement, no beginning, no end. The beginning's been lost, and the end stretches out into eternity. Don't bother with them, they are irrelevant. There's that word irrelevant again. A few valleys back, the mind became irrelevant, and now the concept of beginnings and endings and space and time become irrelevant when you are in the mystery of unity. In a different book, Attar writes, "A mystic knows without knowledge, without intuition or information, without contemplation or description or revelation. Mystics are not themselves. They do not exist in selves. They move as they are moved, talk as words come, see with the sight that enters their eyes. I once met a woman and asked her where love had led her. Fool, she said, there is no destination to arrive at. The loved one and the lover and the love are infinite." Now we come to the valley of wonderment. Attar says, "When you arrive here in wonderment, you arrive already lost, and you will yet become more lost. You arrive here and say, I am in love, but I don't know with whom. I am neither devout nor faithless. I don't know who I am. My heart is both full and empty of love. I know nothing. I wish I did. But if I did know, I would be bewildered." A sense of bewilderment. A big part of the Sufi path. That part of unknowingness. Rumi, "The mystic dances in the sun, hearing music that others do not. Insanity, they say, those others. If so, it's a very gentle, nourishing sort." And here's my favorite, Hafiz, "Running through the streets screaming, throwing rocks through windows, using my own head to ring great bells, pulling out my hair, tearing off my clothes, tying everything I own onto a stick and setting it on fire. What else can Hafiz do tonight to celebrate the madness, the joy of seeing God everywhere?" The seventh valley is the valley of poverty and annihilation. That's a big word. Attar tells us this is the ultimate release. Lose yourself in this ocean. Find solace in your lost state, and a calming oblivion will embrace your heart. When your soul is absorbed in that ocean, it is saved from its own oblivion. That is when creativity abounds and the mysteries of life begin to unveil. So oblivion into the ocean of love, harmony, and beauty saves you from a different oblivion. It saves you from the oblivion of mass culture, society, programming, indoctrination, social media, politics, sports. Have I left anything out? As you release into the ocean of love, you become free to create something truly unique and new. You are free to do what you were sent here to do. This next poem comes from the grandson of Inayat Khan, Pirzia Inayat Khan. For me, he is the fruit of all the Sufi wisdom of our lineage that came from the East to America and has ripened here in the United States. He's a young man in his 40s. Listen closely, because all seven valleys are represented in this poem. Remember, his grandfather said that Sufism is a path of wisdom. Wisdom is the fruit that ripens when, with crazy courage, we plant ourselves in the garden of radical unknowingness. It is a deep breath that accompanies the willingness to not know, to rest in the mystery, to abide in surprise, and allow the sacred to reveal itself in its terrible beauty and startling ordinariness. To be wise is to become undone and to pay attention to the dismantling and celebrate what arises when the annihilating depths of, in the annihilating depths of love's fire. So there we are, seven valleys, seven portions of the path. I can't tell you how the story ends, this conference of the birds. For that, you'll need to read the book. I've given you only a taste. For more, you'll have to invite me back. I leave you with the words of Shams Tabrizi, the Sufi mystic, dervish, who was Rumi's teacher, friend, and inspiration. He says, "Fret not where the path will take you. Instead, concentrate on the first step. That's the hardest part, and it's what you are responsible for. Once you take that step, let everything do what it naturally does, and the rest will follow. Do not go with the flow. Be the flow." Thank you.